Max Payne.
Max Payne.
You know, we start by saying, hey, we want to bring IBC to Polkadot. That didn't really work.
Me personally, I'm from Venezuela, so I lead this like quite well. I know the importance of like having decentralized money that I can have custody.
What we want to do is create proposals for both treasuries, Polkadot Treasury and the Cosmos community pool, if we can get more holders of both assets.
OpenGov just opened up and it's a bit chaotic, it's a bit crazy, it's a bit cutthroat.
The launch team wishes you good luck and Godspeed.
Space Monkeys blasting off with the guys from Composable. We have Miguel Santa Fe. He's the co-founder of Composable. We have Ahmed Webby. He's the COO. And Blas Rodriguez, the CTO. Of course, ZeroX Brain Jar. And a big happy birthday to Jafar. You may know him as the Composable intern, but he's the co-host for today, making sure we don't miss anything too bullish. Welcome to Space Monkeys.
Thanks for having
Thank
me.
Thank you so much.
Okay, so it's you guys have been on a mission. You are bringing together two big multi-chain ecosystems.
Max Payne.
What's been the most painful part?
IBC is like controversial in Polkadot. And Polkadot is controversial to Cosmos.
Okay.
And like we decided to take both of those ideas and run with it.
Let's do it, right.
And so we're like sitting in between two ecosystems that have been typically at odds with each other. And we tell people, you know, we start by saying, hey, we want to bring IBC to Polkadot. That didn't really work.
Right.
And then we go to Cosmos and we say, we want to bring IBC to the Polkadot ecosystem. Like, let's all connect. Like the first, you know, 4 to 6 months, we were really trying to figure out who's the actual person that we need to speak to like get these, get the help that we need.
Yeah.
And there was just like a lot of like, oh, some other team is doing this already. That team never delivered. I don't know what year they said they were going to start doing that, but it's been multiple years. So props to us. Part of why this was really hard was all politics, right? Polkadot people say, oh, like, whatever, this is XCM is more important to us than IBC, like, good luck, basically. Cosmos people are like, yeah, you know, like, this is cool, but not really massively important to our, like, technical roadmaps. Like, why are you talking about upstreaming all these different things? It really took us, like, 4 to 6 months to get to the right people where we could actually say, okay, guys, like, this is what we want to do, help us. You know, thanks to Jack Zamplin and Notional and a lot of other people as part of the story, those guys actually said, okay, what you guys are doing will be painful, but we will help you so that it's less painful.
Yeah.
Because these are the people who understood the value.
That's right.
Taking IBC outside of Cosmos.
That's right.
Because even in Cosmos, IBC was just a Cosmos thing.
Yeah.
And then there were some few people who were thinking, you know, ahead and saying, okay, you know, we need to think of truly cross-chain. And if somebody's coming in from another ecosystem that wants to use IBC, we need to help them. And
actually, I think hot take is I don't think anyone ever said IBC everywhere until we actually started saying, showing people that IBC everywhere was possible. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's like IBC gang memes in Cosmos, but like I don't think actually people were legit believing their own memes about IBC everywhere until Composable started crafting the narrative for like cross ecosystem IBC.
Yeah, it was right. Never done, right? So connecting Polkadot and Kusama was the first instance of IBC being deployed outside of Cosmos. And for us, that was the proof of concept. And I think that was a game changer, I would say. You know, it was tough definitely to get buy-in and conviction and support, but initially on both sides. But once we proved it was possible, I think the conversation started to flow a little bit better. And I have to admit, it was easier on the Cosmos side. I think partially because Cosmos is already familiar with IBC. Cosmos is already proud of IBC, right? That's its crown jewel. Mm. So with Polkadot, there was an education component to just actually explain why IBC as a transport protocol is essentially superior than whatever else exists in the market. But I think there was also a sense of, you know, culture of experimentation in Cosmos that I feel like just allowed for a bit more imagination on what is possible, what would be possible with these connections, and then just fast forwarding into the future. you know, once not only Polkadot and Cosmos are connected over IBC, but every single chain is connected over IBC, you know, what's possible for a user then and what's possible for a developer then. And I think, you know, fast forward after a year of having been engaging in these conversations, I would say there's a lot more appetite essentially now to just go beyond Cosmos itself and think about IBC a little bit differently.
So what was on the Polkadot side, what was the choke point there? Like, who did you have to convince and how did you?
I mean, to be honest, on the Polkadot side, we didn't have as much, like, as many technical hurdles as we did upstreaming things in the Cosmos land.
Oh, okay.
The struggle in Polkadot is just like actually convincing people that bridging to Cosmos is actually valuable, right?
Okay.
I think that's like, historically, people just say, oh, I have DOT. Like, that's, what else do I need? People understand bridging to Ethereum because Ethereum is higher market cap than Polkadot. But because Polkadot's a higher market cap than Cosmos, most parachain teams just decide, you know, Atom and all these other use cases that are happening in Cosmos are just like not important. And I think that's been hindering the ability for more use cases within the parachain ecosystem to pop up using these types of assets.
I think there is a bit of incumbent versus underdog dynamic playing out with Polkadot being the bigger ecosystem, right? But I think that over the past year, the sense of tribalism that I was sensing a bit more initially in these conversations went down.
Yeah.
And I think there's generally a recognition that for this entire space to thrive, essentially you need users and you need liquidity. And for users and liquidity to come into different ecosystems, then they cannot be isolated.
My perspective just from the Polkadot ecosystem has always been something is happening, something is really bubbling on Cosmos that I'm missing out on. That, you know, maybe, you know, I've made a choice to focus on Polkadot, but it seems like they had users and they have activity. And that's only kind of just getting going over here. What are some aspects of chains or applications over there where we can study and take a page out of their books? What do you guys like?
I mean, I think, look, the main barrier to DOT adoption has been we don't have any like useful DeFi apps in Polkadot.
Okay.
That's true.
Okay. Right?
We have the Pablo DEX. It's going to become permissionless. You can swap there. There's a bunch of other DEXs, but like, who actually decides to wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to go do XYZ thing with my DOT today? You probably have like four use cases, and all of them probably provide you lower APY than just staking your DOT. So in many people's eyes, like, DOT is just an app chain for the DOT asset.
Right.
Which is sad, but that's the way that the people outside of Polkadot actually view it. The first thing that actually appeared in Cosmos was IBC, which allowed Atom assets to flow across different sovereign chains. And the first chain that popped up that actually people cared about was Osmosis. And because they've built up so much liquidity and so much community involvement for the past 2 years, they've set the standard for TVL and liquidity in Cosmos. Having a DEX that's has, you know, 300 mil plus TVL in the bear market is like something Polkadot cannot even dream about at the moment. And so I think there's like three core things that parachain teams should pay attention to with respect to like the DeFi landscape in Cosmos. First is there's like an insane amount of focus on emissions, rewards, airdrops, and like actually cultivating a community. The first thing every parachain team did was like fuck over their Kusama chains. Debate me, but it's true, right?
Why? Because they abandoned them?
Because they abandoned them, right? Uh-huh. So they built up their community with their first crowd loan. And then they murdered all of them by their tokens going to zero. And then they only focus on Polkadot. So that was like the first mess up. The second mess up is they haven't been actually super focused on building DeFi applications that people want to use, because the user experience of doing anything cross chain in the Polkadot ecosystem is like much harder than just already using a wallet that has the ability to do IBC transfers inside of it.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, I would say again, because the usually when you talk to people about like, okay, what Cosmos has to offer, they say, no, it's really nice, it's really fast, it's really easy to use, and it's really user friendly. I mean, I know this term might be sometimes a little bit like generic, But then that's also how you get like the sentiment from the people, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then when you actually show up and then you start like using things like Kepler or like the different wallets, or you go to Osmosis, you know, like, and you start like seeing how, okay, you have like similar patterns, which are great, but then you have things like, for example, Stride.
What's Stride?
Stride is basically this liquid staking protocol that exists in the Cosmos ecosystem.
Okay.
Right? So basically, again, like, it's not the DIV. It's basically you show with the native asset, put it, and you basically, you know, like, print, like, the stake asset.
Sure.
Then you can connect your wallet, and you basically see, like, different assets that you have, like, spread all over the Cosmos ecosystem. Okay. They can be on the Cosmos Hub, they can be in Osmosis, etc. And then you see, you know, the different options that they have, like, okay, you can do it with Osmosis, Atom, etc. And then when you click the button, right, you will basically be displayed with a huge stepper that will tell you, okay, now we're bringing your assets to the Stride chain. Now we're basically depositing them. Now the stake token is being minted, and then this asset is being moved again. It's put it in the liquidity pool, you know? So it's the closest thing that you can have to like an abstracted user experience with like almost like a one-click situation thing, right? That again, it's really nice to see these things already kind of like happening, enabled by IBC, but, you know, like on the other side you go and you have like, on the Polkadot side, you know, for example, the first thing that you see, then you have Polkadot.js, for example, you know, again, like not trashing or anything, but, you know, it's like, again, as a normal, kind of like, even as a normal DeFi user, crypto native is already kind of like hard. Even it was for me when, like, first time, like a few years ago when I saw it the first time, it's like, okay, but where are the balances? Like, where, you know, there's a bunch of like numbers and things and strings, it's like called hashes. And so I know that it's important, especially for developers. It's like,
yeah, yeah.
It's really good, of course. But then again, like, how are you going to actually take this out, you know? And then you start like, comparing these things, and ultimately that's going to drive adoption, liquidity, and eventually like good sentiment about like, you know, what things are happening in a certain ecosystem, you know?
Okay.
And I think it's going to be a matter of time before like, you know, Atom can actually, well, Cosmos in general can, you know, like get closer to Polkadot, which I think in terms of experience is now way superior.
Okay.
But yeah.
And on the other hand, there are things in Polkadot that that don't exist in Cosmos, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Shared security, or essentially the security aspect of Polkadot is probably its strongest feature, and that's something that sort of Cosmos is trying to catch up on. So for us, that's why personally, at least for me, it's less about picking teams and more about figuring out what is the best set of infrastructure that can essentially unify these ecosystems and redefine the whole idea of interoperability, where we move from interoperability as interoperability among within a certain ecosystem into essentially cross-ecosystem interoperability, right? And so that's why we're a Polkadot parachain, because we believe in Polkadot security, but that's also why we're using IBC essentially to bridge everywhere. That's also why we're bringing Cosmosm, which is smart contracting framework so far only used in Cosmos, onto essentially we deployed it on Picasso, right? Which means that any Cosmos or Cosmosm protocol can essentially just port over their contracts very simply into Polkadot and deploy in a whole new ecosystem with new liquidity and new user base, right? So yeah, I think for us, the main thing is just, you know, how do we connect these worlds? How do we establish this trustless infrastructure? And from there on, I think, you know, more and more applications are going to thrive in both ecosystems.
Okay. And maybe we could contrast XEM and IBC real quick, because so XEM only exists under this security umbrella, right? Like, we can't use XEM outside of that. But IBC, we can.
I mean, the concept of IBC is how can you connect two chains with basically proofs, you know, at just like a high level, like
at the consensus level, like
exactly. So it's like it doesn't really matter whether they share any security together or not. It's just you have two entities, could be two computers, as long as they can communicate with each other, you know, sending just proofs. It's part of this protocol, like that. Basically, it would be accepted, you know, the communication. Then, you know, the next layer is like, okay, how do we make it more secure? So we use like light clients, which is sort of a representation of the other chain on my chain. So I sort of keep track of your chain on my chain. But again, like we don't necessarily share any security. We don't have any, you know, relay chain connecting us, but we still like, you know, have an understanding of where we are in terms of like the state transition, Like, how do we move? And then we send proofs to validate anything that has happened on your side. And that's pretty much it. You know, then on top of this, which is basically the core piece of the protocol, you build application layers. So now, okay, do we want to send out transactions that, you know, send assets? Fine. Like, how do we interpret this? Do we want to send NFTs? Do we want to like manage an account from your chain or my chain? And that's like how the protocol gets a bit more, you know, complex, mm-hmm. and you can do more things. We actually don't believe so much on that direction. We really like IBC as a base transport layer. We have XCVM for sort of managing more the complexity. You know, IBC imposes very, very few constraints for anybody to, you know, use it.
Right. But the idea is with IBC, it's if there's two networks communicating, it's the network with least security that's how you break it.
In some way you could think about this, yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
How would you think about it?
I mean, if you're connecting to a network that you think, you know, it doesn't have enough security, then you can just
not connect.
Picasso was always backed by like the Cassandra relay chain, right? Composer was backed by the Polkadot relay chain, so like already our chain has security from there.
Exactly.
And we have IBC, so it's like the best of both worlds. Picasso was basically a mix of the two.
Yeah.
But also, like, one of the issues of IBC, but it's one of the protections, is, you know, like, when you get an asset from a chain, it sort of has embedded the stamp of where it is coming from, right?
Mm.
So you as a chain, you're connected to another one, and if for whatever reason you just, or your user base decides that that chain is not secure enough, they would decide not to trade on that specific asset coming from that chain.
Right.
So there's like full traceability of like kind of the security that everybody in the sort of interconnected topology brings. Sure.
You know which neighborhood that asset's been in, eh?
Precisely. Yeah. Then you say, I don't want to touch this guy.
Uh-huh. Understood. Okay. Now, you said something that I haven't heard in a while, XCVM, Brainjar. You used to write beautiful prose about this. Well, what's going on with XCVM?
Yeah. I mean, so XCVM is like our framework to pass instructions between multiple different chains for execution. I like to think about it as the framework that actually brings to life what we've talked about in the past of like mass adoption. Bridging doesn't actually solve for the mass adoption problem.
Hmm.
The mass adoption problem comes from people wanting to do XYZ activity within the Web3 space and not having the tools or the knowledge to figure out where to do what they want to do.
Hmm.
You have to read about the specific type of DEX to execute a swap in. You have to know where to get assets from. You have to make sure you don't withdraw USDT to like a non-statement address, et cetera, et cetera. And like all of this stuff is super complicated for someone who just entered the ecosystem like 30 seconds ago.
Yeah.
The first version of XCVM is just bridging and swapping. So you go from Picasso to Osmosis, you can swap and come back all from signing a single transaction starting from Picasso with a Polkadot.js address. Effectively, you never have to make a Kepler wallet, you never have to do anything to do with Kepler. It's all localized to the Polkadot framework of signing transactions.
And all secured by private keys on the Polkadot side.
Correct, yeah. And you can do vice versa with Kepler, right?
Sure.
You could show up, say you want to perform a swap on Picasso, sign with your Kepler wallet. These things become very powerful as you begin to add all different types of use cases on top.
But also, you can also give functionality to existing protocols. Let's say you're a DEX on Polkadot and you want to tap into a pool in Cosmos.
Yeah.
Today, you need to create the pool, you need to bring the liquidity, right?
Yeah,
what if you could sort of have like a glass door to that with like a sort of a proxy to that pool where your user base interacts with you as a protocol and you just go somewhere else? That is something that it can be done, but it's pretty complicated.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you need some help, abstraction, whatever, to enable you to do this. So this is where we think, you know, these are like really like cross-chain operations that don't need to fragment liquidity and don't need you to have to do so much marketing effort, anything, where you just say, okay, I connect here, as you would do in Web2, right?
Yeah.
I just click to Amazon's API and I just call Amazon and my user doesn't know anything about this.
Right.
So that's pretty much the
user. I think that's the point because the again, like, it's also important to understand what does this mean for the, again, like, the average user, right? Again, if you have this infrastructure, it's allowed you to connect, like, so many different things. Then, again, you kind of, like, step away. I mean, Ahmed was mentioning this before, like, from this tribalism of, like, okay, yeah, I'm married with this chain and I'm only going to do things in this ecosystem and stuff. Like, then you kind of, like, even yourself as a user, your vision gets a little bit, like, abstracted away, right? Because then you will start thinking about, like, use cases. And then you're going to start thinking about, like, for example, just, like, assets, you know, regardless from where they are. Again, because you just want to, again, execute, like, certain function or, like, a full program involving many different chains. But, again, you will only see this from a single interface. And that's it. You just basically click it, you approve it, and then it's done.
Yeah. Right?
Because I think now we're reaching, like, a point where, like, people care about, like, again, like, what's what they would like to do, like, what's kind of, like, their intention.
Mm.
You know, and not necessarily like where they are, you know, like USDC, USDC, again, it can be some parts in Ethereum, some parts in Picasso, some parts in, I don't know, whatever, like Osmosis, etc. And you start like detaching away from this, you know, like, okay, it's in this chain, I have to bridge it, and I have to put it here, I have to send it somewhere. You know, again, like I always put this example that people don't, for example, if you go around and travel and stuff, you don't care necessarily about like what network provider you have in your phone, right? You just want to have like data, SMS, and be able to call. So again, you kind of like start like abstracting this away, you know, from the user. They don't have to think about like, okay, I have to move this here, I have to do, no, people don't like that. People hate it. It's horrible user experience, clicking around things, then like things can fail, and then you just, okay, you know what, like forget it. I don't want to deal with this, you know? So like this, you start like, you know, going into towards this kind of like global.
This is what Brainjar was talking about on episode 2 of Space Monkeys. It was DeFi for the masses. That indeed, was the intention, indeed, right?
Indeed.
Okay, so what are the very, maybe by the time this is posted, what are the things we could do? And, you know, what are the 2 to 3 months after that look like?
I think every Cosmos chain with DeFi will have DOT on it.
Okay.
And we're going to make sure of that. And Pika, so.
Hell yeah.
And then I think, and also KSM, what we want to do is create proposals for both treasuries, so the Polkadot treasury and the Cosmos community pool, and try to request a loan getting transferred over to Osmosis so that we can create new bag holders of DOT, essentially.
Right.
And I think it's also valuable for Atom to flow over into, say, the Pablo DEX, so that DOT Sama users can also now start getting access to Atom trustlessly.
Okay, interesting. So you want to make a proposal. It's a loan. It's just a loan to basically LP on the Cosmos side.
Correct.
That's interesting. How are you guys going to approach that? I mean, OpenGov just opened up and it's, you know, it's a bit chaotic. It's a bit crazy.
Yeah.
It's a bit cutthroat.
I mean, so I think the easiest thing is this is in Osmosis' interest to pass, right? So Osmosis' community is the biggest community in Cosmos. If they all buy a DOT to come vote in OpenGov, that's the best case scenario for us.
Okay. And how about the other way around? What does governance look like over there?
It's a shit show.
I mean, but they did
why release
Atom for Neutron, right? In the Cosmos.
Yeah. So recently, this was all inspired by a proposal that Stride recently got passed for the community pool, where they're seeding like 7 figures. It's larger than 2 to 3 million. I think it's like $5 to $6 million worth of ST Atom on Astroport on Neutron, which is good for Stride, Neutron, Astroport, and like the broader liquid staking Atom community, because now people can swap freely between the staked version and the sort of non-staked version of Atom. So that was passed, right? And so making a pitch of, hey, come seed a bunch of Atom in one location for the first time, bridge over IBC, which is like an Atom native communication protocol, I do think is a sellable concept. The reality is, if we can get more holders of both assets, it's a net benefit. Both.
Right.
Yeah.
Killer. Okay, nice. Okay, so it starts with getting assets on either chain. We put DOT over there. We, you know, start to get DOT bags developing in the Cosmos ecosystem. For now, what they're going to have to do is they're going to have to turn that DOT into native DOT to really work in the Polkadot ecosystem. But eventually there should be this abstracted interface where we can make calls on either side, right?
Yeah.
That's the idea.
Yeah. I mean, to them, it's going to feel like native DOT because, I mean, they can't transfer that DOT to exchanges, right? But using XCVM, if they input their SEX accounts, we could feasibly be able to take them through the whole path and withdraw to their SEX account, theoretically, right?
Right.
I mean, what is a SEX account other than just like, hey, give me, like, let me deposit my DOT onto Kraken, as an example. They give you a DOT address.
Yeah.
So you can construct an XCVM program that lets you be able to withdraw DOT from some location in the Cosmos to this address, and it would sort of know that you have to do all these hops back, ultimately arriving at the SEX. I think that's like one of the most bullish components of XCVM is all these like ideas of hops and transfers and transactions become condensed into a single user action.
Yeah. Okay. But for now, you know, let's say, cause you guys know more about Cosmos than probably anybody else that's been on the show. Mm-hmm. Right? And our audience doesn't know much about Cosmos, except for a few NFT enthusiasts, actually, are kind of getting over there. Just one thing you would do as a total newbie on Cosmos that is pretty cool, pretty mind blowing. What would you do?
I would say
Stride.
Yeah, Stride. Again, like, not necessarily like because I like liquid staking a lot because, again, it's kind of like a, you know, it gives like a lot of freedom to people, you know. Again, people don't like to be like, you know, like just like bounded to something. Then you have unbonding periods and whatnot. And then, you know, like it gives you the option to like put it there and then you can start like doing DeFi, right? And then you can kind of like start building your own, you know, like financial, your own way of like doing your own finances, right?
Cool.
And again, the fact that you can use that then IBC to like just like bring things one click situations, I think that's like the, you know, like how things should look like for sure.
I think DOT is collateral for IST, considering
for sure
every stablecoin has failed and Polkadot.
IST is a stablecoin.
DOT itself.
Where's that on what chain?
It's on Agoric.
Agoric, okay.
Yeah, people use it all throughout the Cosmos ecosystem though.
But okay.
You have to show up to Agoric to deposit Atom, and it mints you like a collateralized debt position. Then you get IST. It's the same thing as like using ETH to mint DAI or something like that.
Sure.
So the idea would be we get DOT to be collateral for IST.
Great. More DOT utility.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
I'm bringing in the DOT from the treasury, like opens up liquidity for Osmosis. So you could also take out a loan on Mars or even Nolus, which recently launched.
Mars and Lotus, this is where we're doing lending and borrowing?
Yeah, so Mars is deployed on Osmosis. Nolus is its own app chain.
Okay.
So, like, having a DOT pool on Osmosis, people from Polkadot can go and take out loans with using DOT as collateral, like for USDC or...
Yeah.
Probably go buy some Pico on Osmosis.
No, we're just learning here. We're just small enough. Yes, yeah. Ah, this is so exciting.
No, absolutely. And you know, we're realizing that actually these ecosystems don't talk to each other as much as we expected
to.
I mean, you know, last year around this time, we threw an event called Unchained, and we had essentially we had Rob Habermeyer from Polkadot as well as different founders from different parachain teams. And they were talking to teams on the Cosmos side for the first time, right? And
yeah.
I think that was really exciting because then that's when, you know, these ecosystems start to understand each other and what's going on and what are the ways where they could collaborate, right? Yeah. And we saw it recently in an AMA that we hosted where Sunny and Zaki from the Cosmos side were also debating, you know, mesh security versus the Polkadot security model with Rob Habermeyer, right? So I think personally, I'm just excited also that we were somewhere between these ecosystems, but not just kind of nitpicking different infrastructure tooling parts, but actually kind of creating some connections that I feel are going to be essential for the entire space of interoperability.
Yeah, all that nitpicking and like picking little pieces of tech and trying to compare it is so stupid in the end.
Because no one cares. Ultimately, we're all fighting.
Nobody cares, yeah.
Ultimately, we're all fighting over block space that no one uses.
Right.
You know?
Uh-huh.
That's just the truth.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'm not saying no one uses, you know, block space, but the truth is like we're just like even this whole narrative of like million roll-ups thesis that a bunch of people have, like, for what, right? When the number of people who actually probably daily use crypto to do something other than gamble is probably sub 1 million people.
Mm.
Which is also why we're doing what we're doing, right? Because, again, I always say we're working on the niche of the niche of the niche, you know, it's like DeFi, then, okay, like the whole crypto thing, and then you have like Web3 as a whole. But again, it's like a tiny bubble, you know, it's not that you can just basically go outside, ask somebody, hey, what do you know about like Polkadot? You know Polkadot, you know Cosmos, you know Osmos. So you're going to say, what? Like, again, that's why I think it's really important, like, all these things ultimately will like take you somewhere, you know, so sort of like goals, sort of like vision. Right? I think in our case, basically, you know, also because it's funny because also like, I think like many people from the team, they at some point, they had some sort of like situation where they had to like use, you know, like decentralized technologies or even crypto, for, like pay for something or leave or be exposed to like things like inflation. You know, me personally, I'm from Venezuela, so I lead this like quite well. So I know what this means, you know, I know the importance of like having decentralized money that I can have custody, you know, when you have like 1,000-2,000% inflation, then you care about this. Mm-hmm. Right. And you don't want anyone to be able to like control it, or you put your money somewhere and you basically think the whole thing will blow up. Understanding then the why, you know, then I think everything then starts making sense. Then you understand the power of IBC, the power of security, the power of like good use cases, the power of like unifying everything and a good user experience on the top. Then again, then you're going to start actually talking to like real people, doing real things.
Vision, beautiful. Journey has been exciting all along the way. And it's just so sick that, you know, it's actually happening. Well, thanks for actively working and for so long. And I think that strong vision is really what's pulling a lot of you forward. That's what it seems to be. So thanks very much, guys.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you.